Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have a lot to go through. It just keeps piling up. When I get into the marketing stuff, it tends to pile up. However, this being a very particular day in history where we had and some people will call it a radicalized Islamist, Mohammedan, whatever you want to call it, but the Fort Hood shooting massacre, or I should say mass shooting, whatever you want to call it, that happened 10 years ago. And as I understand it, there are still victims from that are still fighting to get back to a normal life. And so one of the things that we need to keep cognizant, because I want to highlight this in today's show, or at least in the monologue, is that you need to understand how our freedoms are being assaulted and how godless secularism has moved us into a level of tyranny that should be blatantly obvious, but because it has been incremental over the past century, practically it's been a century, as they've started ratcheting up all of this anti-Christian rhetoric and rules, laws, policies, and so forth, we are in a position where if you back out to the macro, you should be able to see really what we are facing as far as the threat to our constitutional republic that the framers gave us. Now, as you know, this show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. And this still is the only show that provides academic and evidence-based solutions. We also have that listen line number. Let me get this out of the way. 605-562-4209. It's written all over the place here. I just had to actually look at it. And I don't like committing everything to memory because that's when I make mistakes. As a matter of fact, as my wife says, she thinks I'm the only one that thinks I'm funny. But I was explaining to her that I'm now in a point in my time in my life where my age is actually helping my health more. And she looked at me and she goes, "How's that?" what kind of crazy comment is coming behind this? And I said, "Well, now that I have to walk into rooms more because I forgot why I went in there in the first place until I go back and, oh, yeah, I went out there for that. I'm getting more exercise, walking around, going up and down the stairs double time or twice the amount of time. It's really sad when you do it two or three times. But anyway, and I don't know, I if you've got a suggestion, I believe diet is one of those things. And oh, by the way, supposedly China is now leading in Alzheimer medicine. They came up with a supplement pharmaceutical based on, I think, seaweed or kelp or something like that, that will actually help either retard and or undo. I don't want to speak about it because I don't know all the details. And then again, it's way too early to actually tell you what the outcomes will be until you actually have some time. Remember, one of the scientific rules in life is results take time to measure. Right? If you just start smoking and you have no scientific evidence and you're just trying to figure out what smoking does, it takes time. It takes time to determine what its overall health effects are to your life. Now, I wouldn't recommend for people to start smoking because we do have empirical data regarding smoking. And it's almost like, how stupid can you be to start smoking? It's not even a subjective thing. This is where, and I'm getting into a little bit of a bent here, but this is where I think we have to draw the line. If you want to smoke cigarettes, then anything that is related or could be related to your smoking cigarettes, you have to pay for on your healthcare. You got cancer, you have lung problems, lung emphysema, lung disease, things that are directly associated to your behavior, you have to be responsible for it. Or you have to buy insurance to say, hey, I'm a smoker and I want to pay for smoking insurance, because I'll bet you anything, it'd be very expensive. But these concepts that we all have to subsidize the consequences of your behavior, then that almost becomes enabling one bad behavior. And as I've been saying, and I wish somebody would prove me wrong, but what we are doing as a government and as a society is we are working overtime trying to remove the consequences of sin instead of actually trying to improve behavior through enlightenment and discipline. In other words, as we become educated, there are certain things in our life we should be getting rid of and not doing anymore. Not because we need to regulate it by law, but we need to actually start educating people to say, you understand the consequences of this. The reason the government doesn't want to do that is because they make a lot of money. Look at how much money they make off tobacco or alcohol and all of the other sins. It's a huge moneymaker. And if you understand what ended up happening with the tobacco lawsuits back in the early 90s under Clinton, what that did was it got rid of all of the small players in the tobacco industry. There used to be a lot of different products out there. And when they came out and said this was a class action lawsuit, everybody had to pipe up, sort of a little play on words. But anyway, people had to, you know, ante in as far as the tobacco products and so forth on this class action lawsuit. All of these things that the government was doing was basically colluding and almost extorting. And if you look at the folks who have received supposedly the money for this, it's nothing. It pales in comparison to really the damage that we are doing to our society. And I've said this before, and I would ask you to prove me wrong, that if you went through the agricultural fields of the world and we got rid of poppies, we got rid of tobacco, we got rid of whatever your favorite little sin is because there's no nutritional value to it, and said, we want to create a greater value to nutrition and health and quality of life and those types of things. And as a marketplace, we as a society put a demand on that instead of a demand on the alcohol and all the other, what we call the sins, then I'll bet you anything, we would have such an abundance of food because there is so much. Look how much beer and booze and everything else, wine that gets consumed. If those products were then, and that those agricultural fields were converted into food-producing food, you know, substance, our cost of food would probably go down significantly. And our ability to make sure that nobody ever starves would probably go down significantly. But the problem is the government gets involved and government allows and subsidizes these types of controls to protect, you know, the bottom line of how much these crops go for and so forth. And so anyway, let me get into my sponsorship because I really didn't do a good job yesterday. We have Red State Coffee and a link to it on Reclaiming the Republic. We would ask you, if you are a coffee drinker, give Red State Coffee a try. Try one bag. That's all we ask. Just try one bag. They support us, so please try one bag and give us a call and let us know what you think. What we'd like to do, we actually had one caller a while back, but we couldn't understand their English. But anyway, we had one caller call back and talked, you know, good about the product. It was hard to differentiate what they were saying. But anyway, what we'd ask is that you give us a call. Let us know what you think. It's a data call. We're asking you, and if you don't mind us using your statement regarding Red State Coffee, then we will actually use your comments regarding Red State Coffee in our promos and actually in our ads and spots and so forth. So with that, let me also jump into one other thing. If you want to get involved, if you want to support Reclaiming the Republic, there's a few ways to do it. One, we have our GoFundMe that we don't mention that often, but it's still out there. That campaign is still out there. If you also have time, you have resources, you can just send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. The other way that you can get involved in helping is actually getting involved in your community and becoming a candidate as a constitutional supporter. Set the bar. You know, there's never a bad time to get onto the high road. And there's never a bad time for a party to get onto the high road and say, you know what? I don't know really why or what we were doing before, but this is really what we need to do. And I'm not talking about the tactics and those types of things. What I am talking about is becoming the champions of the Constitution and champions of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And when you do that, then I think you're in the right spot. You're in the sweet spot, as far as I'm concerned, politically, because you will become the leader and you will have control over the narrative, because you'll always be able to point to those who think that they don't have to follow the Constitution, such as the RINOs, Democrats, and others, and hold them accountable. You know, we talked a lot about this yesterday. I'm not going to get into it again, but when we come back, we are going to talk about our freedoms and our First Amendment rights and how they're being trampled. And then we'll get into some marketing and the compendious summation. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit yesterday about the Second Amendment. But what we want to do is we want to talk a little bit today about the First Amendment. And to be clear, a lot of people just read this, you know, as Congress. So that's the first word. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So I want to go through this. But to set this up, I want to kind of give you some things that have kind of happened recently that you should be either aware of or understand and so forth. And so where are we as a society? Because political correctness is moving us in a direction where you no longer have these First Amendment rights. Oh, well, so as you know, I've written a post that basically says, hey, if it's illegal, because we have this thing called safety, right? Public safety. You can't go into a theater and yell fire because you can cause a mass panic and people can get hurt. And because of that, it's illegal for you to go in there just to cause mass panic. It's one thing if there's a legitimate fire, you know. So in other words, if you see a fire in a theater and you don't say fire and you don't get people moving, then, you know, just because you think it's illegal, no, it's only illegal when you're doing it as a fake or to cause panic. Now, in the other side of this, and this is on the Mobius Strip Press Facebook page, the other side of this is it should be equally illegal for politicians to be able to use their platform, to use their podium, their lectern, to be able to stump on issues that cause public panic and fear that have no true academic hardcore evidence. And as a matter of fact, if they get out there, and I'll give you a great example, Al Gore. Al Gore came out and said that certain things were going to happen by a certain point in time. Well, they didn't. And he was a public servant at the time, basically using this falsehood to try to get voters to vote and swing us in a certain direction. In other words, trying to create mass panic. And as far as I'm concerned, he should be arrested and tried for using his political position in trying to create mass panic and compromising public safety and the rule of law. Because 9 times out of 10, what usually happens is they go, oh, well, we got to start doing things and violate the Constitution in the process because, oh, it's all about saving the planet. You know, it's all about saving Mother Earth, and we got to do that. Anyway, the point in fact is that when a politician gets up and says something, they should be held accountable, especially if they're trying to use it for fear-mongering and trying to get a very specific outcome. In other words, getting control so that you can't do things. Anyway, so we understand in the First Amendment, we have these very specific rights. And we also understand that the 14th Amendment applies these individual privileges and immunities to the state laws, or I should say the state governments and polities. And so the polities being the county, city, state, or what have you, right? Any type of state government from the state down, they cannot pass any laws that restrict your individual privileges and immunities, okay? So Congress shall make no law, but in essence, with this First Amendment, with the 14th Amendment applied to this, the federal government or no government in America can make no law respecting or prohibiting the free exercise of religion or speech. And one of the things I skipped over is the Establishment Clause. Why? Because the 14th Amendment only applies individual privileges and immunities. The establishment of a religion is what? It is actually an institution or an organization. States still have the ability and authority, if they want to establish a church, a state church, that they use and they tax their folks and use the church as the vehicle for performing compassionate service. You know, things like the state's already doing, like welfare, you know, food assistance, education, and those types of things. The church could actually take those back because that's who used to do it in the very beginning of the Republic. Every state in the Union had state-sponsored churches at the time and signing of the Constitution. It took a while for each of those states to finally abandon their state religion. I mean, some of them went into the 1870s. New states, and we're only talking about the 13 original states, folks. We're only talking about the 13 original. New states like Kentucky and so forth, they came in and they actually had state-sponsored religions as well. So, here's the question. Are we seeing the exercising of religion? And actually, if you know who Ammon Bundy is, Ammon Bundy kind of posed this question and created a lot of debate with people. And I don't think anybody's ever really recognized, because the question was, do Muslims have the same rights as Christians? Well, technically, based on the Constitution, a state and or a national government or local government, federal, state, and what have you, there's no polity that can restrict your exercise of religion. What does your exercise of religion mean? That means that you can worship and you can apostolatize, you can go out and preach, and you can go out and try to get people to convert or what have you, but you cannot try to establish a state-sponsored religion. And so here's the thing. Mohammedans, Islamists, or Muslims, whatever you want to call them, when they go out and they start inflicting their laws in the community, they're basically turning that community into an Islamic state. Because if they want to eradicate the selling and the consumption of pork, that would be violating your rights as a Christian to be able to eat those things. And they're using their religious positions and their religious doctrines as saying, we believe this is wrong. Well, okay, who's forcing you to eat it? There is a few sides to this issue, a few sides to this topic. But bottom line, when somebody comes along and tries to restrict your freedoms, then they themselves are not supporters of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Now, again, states have the ability to actually create state religions. But I would rue the day, my friends, and until we actually change the 14th Amendment or the First Amendment or make sure that every state passes a law that they don't allow religions to become state, but I'm an advocate for a Christian faith to be applied. And as a matter of fact, I'll just open up one of my books that I'm writing regarding how to heal the entitlement state, that I believe that states should allow their Christian faiths or Christian churches to be able to, you know, to serve and to be able to provide the services. So let's say education. If you have, you know, in a given urban area or city or what have you, you have all these different secular, godless schools. Well, you can convert those back over to the religious keepers. Let the Catholics, let the Baptists, evangelicals, so forth and so on. However it's divided up, and let it become a free competitive market, because I'm going to guarantee you that based on the demand of who's providing the best education, they will be the ones that will actually have the dominance in education in that state, because that's where people want to go, because their kids are being able to participate. Now, one of the problems we've had with our education is that they say you can't intermix the Bible. Well, so let me get back to this, you know, this little caveat here. Congress or the federal government, or let's make it proper, no polity, no government shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Well, actually, we know that every government can do that other than the federal government. But or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, an individual privilege and immunity. So, in other words, no polity can prohibit the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Now, let me get on to one other side of this that is organizational, and that is the press. That means that only the federal government is constrained in going after the press. States and state polities within states have the authority to actually set standards for journalism. They can actually get in the way of the press. The First Amendment does not, it only talks about individual speech and individual. So if you are an individual blogger, then you actually have the freedom of the press to protect you because it's a freedom exercise, not an organizational, it's an individual immunity or privilege. The whole point is that the organization of the press is not protected by the First Amendment, or I should say the 14th Amendment at the state level. We'll be right back after these two promos and we'll kind of move forward. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so this is what the 14th Amendment says. And this is how the 14th Amendment applies portions of the Bill of Rights to the state governments as restraints against the state and all other polities within a state. In other words, if there's an Islamist state, you know, a good example is if you go out into a large compound that is Muslim only, and they have laws that are restricting your speech, that are restricting your exercise of religion or what have you, then they're in abject violation of the Constitution. This is what it says, 14th Amendment, Section 1, second clause or the second sentence starts off with, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Now, I'm sharing this with you, and as a matter of fact, I mentioned in the previous episode that we actually have an article that we're putting up on reclaimingtherepublic.org. So when we announce it, that it's up there, go look at this, because we place this into context of how important compliance to the Constitution is. It would lift us out of this oppressive, tyrannical government we're living under, and it would help change the paradigm. As I tell ministers, because ministers, you know, want me to get all religious and so forth, I go, no, it's not that I'm anti-religion at all. I am pro individual liberty, individual sovereignty, because some, you know, some faiths want to know, you know, or do you believe this? Do you believe this? And again, that actually goes against Article 6 of the Constitution by applying religious tests and so forth. But here's the key thing. If we get the federal government into compliance, and this is exactly what I tell these religious leaders, if we get the federal government into full compliance with the Constitution, then the states will follow in line as well in complying to the Constitution. And in doing so, it will unencumber you from the laws, the unconstitutional laws and restraints, and it will allow you to heal, spiritually heal this nation. So put down your little pet peeves of, you know, we support abortion or it's all about abortion. No, it's about the Constitution. If you understand how the federal government has no jurisdiction in mandating abortion, this becomes a state issue. And now you have a fighting chance of rolling back abortion in most of the states. I mean, as soon as the federal government steps back and says, you know what, we had no authority and jurisdiction over this issue, it is not enumerated within the Constitution, states, it's up to you. If you want to allow Planned Parenthood to operate in your state, if you want to allow these things, then it's up to you. You have to pass your own laws on this because, obviously, we do not have the jurisdiction nor power to get involved in this in any fashion or way. And it's the same thing with healthcare. It's the same thing with all of these other things. And then, voila, religious leaders now have the ability to start getting involved and start healing the republic at this, you know, from the county to the state and the republic level. I mean, this is how we have to do this. But it has to start with obtaining compliance. You're wasting your time if you're fighting over a myopic issue, whether it be healthcare, vaccinations. Those types of myopic focused issues are a complete waste of time. We have to kill the beast. We have to kill the unconstitutional government. So getting back to this whole point of religious freedom and understanding why the states cannot pass any laws that affect your ability to religiously, you know, express yourself or express yourself in any way or eat the way you want to eat. Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, that we're at that cusp where political correctness is going crazy because all of a sudden you can't even dress with a black face for whatever reason. I mean, if it's whatever bad taste you want to exude in a public forum and you want to, what they call today in political correctness is, appropriate, culturally appropriate some culture by, you know, dressing inappropriately or offending people because somebody's going to get offended. And oh, by the way, that's your American right, my friends. You have the right to be offended. And there's, you know, something you can take down to the market and equally be offended wherever you go. Welcome to America. This is the land of the being offended because you're not being protected from specific words because words hurt. I grew up with the concept of sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And we all should be in that same frame of mind. But anyway, when we're seeing people lose their jobs over, you know, how they've dressed or in the past or whether they did it, again, in poor taste or what have you, are you serious? So apparently in Utah, because actually this happened, I think, over Halloween, there was a teacher that used a black face to go to school and did a rap or what have you, just trying to be entertaining and what have you, but somebody got offended and he lost his job or is on suspension or something. I mean, there's administrative actions being taken. And apparently there's a principal and another teacher that allowed a kid to wear a Nazi uniform, a brown shirt in a parade as, you know, what he wanted to, you know, express himself as. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, don't you want to know those kids that want to go around with brown shirts or, you know, the people that want to be thugs or what have you? I mean, if we suppress that stuff, we'll never know who the real threats are. Let them come out. Let's know who are the bigots. Let's find out who the racist and who the control freaks are and that type of thing. and let that haunt them for the rest of their lives, just like it's haunting some of these politicians like the governor of Virginia. You know, he used a blackface. I don't think he should be forced to get to step down. But when it comes to how the left uses the scorched earth mentality, oh, this person's got to go. And then every once in a while, they have to actually swallow, you know, eat that crow or take their own medicine. And that's why, who is that idiot senator? He used to be a part of Saturday Night Live, Al Franken. Al Franken actually had to, you know, resign his position because they had to take one because they had always used scorched earth attitude. And now they're going to protect one of their own and still continue to try to use their scorched earth attitude. You got to kind of measure up and say, OK, we're not hypocrites here. And that's what it's all about sometimes when you're trying to get political collateral, political advantage. Anyway. There is no honor among thieves, especially when you're building cabals. And so in politics, and when we're talking about how they are messing with our individual privileges and immunities and our individual liberty and sovereignty, same, same, these folks are working overtime in trying to figure out how they can take those types of things from you and I. So be wake up, folks. Be aware. Now, as I've said before in the previous episode, which was actually two episodes ago, I laid out how there was no difference in the agenda of the Bushes, the Clintons, and even the Obamas. And as a matter of fact, if you really look and analyze everything that George W. did, it seemed like his job was not only to keep the globalist agenda moving forward, but him to be the town idiot. And to be the White House idiot and scapegoat, and I guess had to have that doofus persona. maybe that wasn't an act. I don't know. But bottom line is, as I was saying, there is just not enough time to cover in one day all of the connections between the Bushes, Clintons, and the Obamas. Or what we could call actually America's latest monarchies, right? Because we look at the Bushes, Clintons, and the Obamas as, shoot, there are America's royalty, just like the Kennedys of the past. Just like Romney would have been far better than another Obama administration at the time, Romney sure appeared like he was a lot like Trump in the campaign stage. And because he lost, we can't really judge what that seed would have yielded. But let's look at what he's doing today. And because I'm telling you, look at what Romney was doing in his campaign, what he was, his positions and so forth. There was a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities. And now we see that he's just become another stooge for the, you know, the globalist, that he is, you know, same as, here's the new boss, same as the old boss, right? Now, moving on from Romney and understanding this huge cabal, I know that Trump has done some good, but I'm telling you that the USMCA is bad, and many other things make me think, the critical things that the globalists need are still getting done, even under Trump's agenda. They're still happening. And I'm going, well, why isn't Trump really doing some things about this? There are some good things that are happening. I don't want to, you know, whitewash, or I don't want to culturally appropriate with my speech. Anyway, the point is that while the left loses a little ground, it seems that whoever goes into that White House, they're still going to maintain footings and maintain some type of movement forward. And all the while, there is no hope in taking back our education system from the secular, godless, global indoctrination centers unless we apply Republic Review. So, in our last segment, I'm going to kind of give you maybe the bigger picture of just how bad it is, and hopefully this will help. be the catalyst in getting you motivated and actually pushing for Republic Review in your state. We'll be right back. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so let me get back to where I was. As we look at everything that Trump has done, everything that he hasn't been doing, and as we look at, you know, what our real problems are, and just to focus on one of the really big problems we have, I still see no hope in taking back our education system from the godless secular globalist indoctrination centers, as I just said. So what are we going to do? Currently, there are so many distractions that I find it impossible for smart people to really keep track. So what I have found is that people fall back on their instincts and their biases and embrace all the crumbs they are given, celebrating a victory whenever they can. Because people don't really understand, you know, they're not looking at, you know, what is going on politically in every aspect of our lives as like a battle map. We have generals and we have politicians that are exercising strategies in this battle map space. And so I'm here to tell you that if you want to see things that should be eradicated and or things that need to be amplified, well, let's just start with, and here's your compendious summation. Let's just start with the evil deep state. Why is it that we have ideologues doing all sorts of things that they have no constitutional authority to do? Look at what the FBI has been doing. Look at what the Department of Justice did under Obama and so forth. Look at how far the deep state has gone under the building of it, you know, over the past several decades. That in itself is a huge indictment that our federal government has lost its way. What about the sexualizing of children? This is not just an educational issue, even though the stage has been set in the educational milieu or forum or environment. The fact of the matter is Hollywood, gaming, entertainment industry, everybody has been sexualizing children since the 50s. And the nose of the camel got into the tent because, oh, they wanted to address teenage pregnancy. And ever since then, since they came in with the solution of teaching sex education, teenage pregnancy, unwanted pregnancies, and all sorts of other problems just went on steroids. They just went crazy. Planned Parenthood went crazy as well, which created the case that set up the Roe v. Wade lawsuit that went into a court that had no jurisdiction over it. And because the federal court system has been doing nothing but aggrandizing its roles in making these unconstitutional types of decisions, of course, they are going to move the ball forward. What about the promotion of sexual dysphoria and trying to get children to start thinking in pronoun speak? See, how do you know you're not a boy or a girl? Are you kidding me? These things shouldn't even be a part of the education or in a part of our society. You know, there used to be a point in time, and I would challenge anybody to go back 10, 15 years and just look at Everybody Loves Raymond. I remember there was an episode on Everybody Loves Raymond where Marie comes in while Deborah's sleeping, and she has this sex book that she had to get ready to start talking about sex to their children. And Marie's comment was, why would you want to have such a conversation with such young, impressionable children? You want to wait until they're at least mature enough, and it should be the parents having that conversation. Now, I didn't agree with Marie's, you know, some of her conclusions and so forth, but the whole point is that these kids should not be getting sexualized. They do not have the maturity to be exposed to this kind of crap. And this is what happens when we allow the inmates to run the asylum. This is what happens when we allow children to do the parenting. Human sex trafficking is another indictment or another reality of evil in our world. And these are kids. I've told you locally, just in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area, there's probably somewhere around 15 to 3,000 kids that have been trapped into the sex trade, trafficking, and so forth. And this is a huge deal. Folks, we cannot just let these kids lose their liberty and their life. You know, once a child has been thrown into this and to get started, you know, being bussed around or trained and however they move these kids from one convention to the next and the things that they do, after this child has lost its perceived innocence and everything else, if they have zero value, they end up dead. What an indictment on our society. We're turning our backs on these types of things. What about live organ transplants that's occurring, you know, at a breakneck speed in China? Trump should be using this as a number one issue in his trades with China and everything else. I cannot believe that we're not leading on this. When are you going? There was actually, I read an article today, or maybe it was yesterday. You know, that short-term memory, getting that extra exercise. In the article, it was basically soft selling. I think it was the UN, 54 countries. Yeah, that's right, because G. Edward Griffin pointed it out. 54 countries have actually approved and think that what China is doing in having these mass, what do you call them, political prisoner camps and so forth, that's the best way of getting people to behave. Are you kidding me? The world is getting very, very evil, folks, and that's, if you've heard people talk about FEMA camps and stuff like that, oh, well, that can't happen here. They've already got buildings and institutions ready to go in remote places to put you. And many people don't even want to talk about these types of things. And that's one of the reasons why Agenda 21 is never mentioned in chemtrails, is never mentioned on the mainstream news on your TV shows. Globalists are buying our government. It is proven. Soros is buying DAs and so forth. And the only way we can counter this is for you to actually pipe up, for you to get involved and or financially support the constitutional candidates. We have to have a social contract. I can't make this any simpler. We have to demand that our public servants are going to actually serve the public by supporting the Constitution to the T. Now, we also have a growing globalist religion on this extinction rebellion and this extinction concept of evolution, that we're moving ourselves. And this concept goes back to this whole public safety issue, that if we allow our public servants or politicians to get up on a stage and start talking like this, they have to be aware that we can throw them in jail and or execute them based on the types of damages that they've done because they were using hyperbole instead of actually just kind of having an open and an honest dialogue and saying, do we really need, but what they've been doing instead of having an open and honest dialogue, they have been cooking their books and trying to push an agenda and ramming it down our throats. America is the food belt, and it is burning. And I am here to tell you, my friends, that if you look at California, you look at where they grow a lot of food, they've been having fires. They've been having lack of water. There is all sorts of problems. And that is why we have been enslaved in buying food from other nations. We are more dependent on other nations for food than we were 20, 30 years ago. What happened? It's the globalist agenda, because if they could starve America, then they can actually hurt us. And remember, Aristotle. Aristotle said the two primary primers for a revolution is when the people are starving, and secondly, when the people realize that they're being taken advantage of and their wealth is being stolen by their politicians. We have a global mass immigration process and an exportation of Islam, and that is getting out of hand and to a community near you. And all of this is, these are all violations of the Constitution. Everything I've been mentioning here, for the government to be involved in these things, they have no constitutional authority or business. Another one is just this whole concept of social warriors or social justice warriors. My mistake. Social justice is the promotion of communism at a much greater level than even Engels and Marx imagined. We have rogue nations like North Korea and Iran that are rattling their sabers saying, do something. We believe we have a right to be a threat to everybody in the world. Are you kidding? 5G and the Internet of Things is the portal to Big Brother, and this is why China is rolling steroids into this program and rolling this out. They want to be able to keep track of everything, and with artificial intelligence and supercomputing, my friends, they are going to be able to actually watch and keep track of almost everything you do. Almost everything you do. And if they can get to 90%+ of keeping track of what you're doing, we're living in 1984. We are living in the world of Big Brother. We can stop all of these things. Republic Review will force the federal government to get back into compliance and get their fingers out of pies, get their fingers out of issues and matters they have no business dealing with. They have no constitutional authority to even be meddling with, as George Nicholas stated. Well, with that, we've got more marketing and news. We'll get into more because they can get into it today. But I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.